Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. We missed last week's episode because my voice was gone and I was not able to talk, but we are back in the saddle this week. We are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Adar tried to put himself in Ter's shoes and was unable to make sense of things. Ter had been despondent and withdrawn for much of the trip from Neberon to Zekirani. Adar had assumed that Ter had felt that way because of the situation with Ahunwe and his personal animosity towards Adar. What if there was something more to it? What if the guilt had been eating at Ter all these years? Would it be enough to make him think twice about killing Karn? There had been a time when Adar would have depended on Ter for almost anything. When Adar was honest with himself, he had been hopeful that things might be repaired. Ter had been a good man. Adar pushed his questions to the side as he ran. He would act as if Ter had killed Karn and was planning an ambush until he knew differently. And now, Chapter 7. Near and Arrow's path to the home had been blocked when a group of Hunwe marched through, herding people before them as if they had been cattle. At that point, if it would have only been Near, he would have ditched Thon and made a break for it. Instead, he and Arrow had abruptly turned and gone the other way, dragging Thon behind them without regard to his condition. More than once, Near looked back over his shoulder, expecting that the Hunwe would be chasing after them. But he had been surprised to see nothing of the sort. Near had lost count of the homes and the streets they had passed while they had dragged the man away as fast as they could. At one point, he had checked on Thon and decided that they were rescuing a corpse. Thon's head hung, bouncing around whenever they dragged him over a rough stone, or one of them lost a grip on his hand. Pulling to a stop, Near had been about to prevail on Arrow that Thon was dead when the man had moved, coughing and muttering something that Near had been unable to hear. Binding off a curse, Near saw that they were alone and headed towards the closest structure, which turned out to be another home. It was made of red brick. A wooden bench on the porch had been smashed. Near envisioned a Hunwe falling on it and figured that he wasn't too far wrong. The door had been busted off the hinges and flung across the room. He relaxed even further when he saw the disarray of the sitting and dining rooms. The Hunwe weren't going to walk past this house and think they needed to check it out again. Chairs were overturned, windows had been broken, and a bookshelf had been pulled to the floor. A fire burned on the hearth of the dining room, but it was low and had not been tended to in some time. A table, not far from the fire, had miraculously survived through all the rest of the damage. Near considered placing Thon there until he looked down at the bleeding man and realized that even if he and Arrow could lift him, his weight might break the table legs. Quick, Near said once they'd pulled Thon off to the side and out of view of the doorway. Scour the house for anything we can use as a bandage. Arrow opened his mouth, but Near stopped him with a growl. Just go. Anything will do. Near turned his back to his son and knelt beside Thon as he pulled out the long-handled knife that he kept on his belt opposite his sword. Arrow had not yet moved, and Near shook his head. He would have thought that given the urgency of the situation, his son would have obeyed an order. It had been too much to hope for. When Near realized he was clenching his teeth, he relaxed his jaw and stared into the eyes of his son. A knife? Arrow asked without breaking eye contact. What's that? Go now, Near said quietly. You're the one that insisted we couldn't leave him. Stop babbling and be useful if you want to help me do what we can for him. Babbling indeed, Near thought. If I have to tell him another time to shut up about Jorad, I'll leave him here. Hunwe or no. It was a harsh thought, but he did not like the implied accusation his son had made when staring at the knife. It reminded him too much that he was capable of such things. Near sliced through Thon's shirt and pulled it off. He counted the wounds and shook his head. 4. You hear that, boy? Man's been stabbed 4 times. Thon's a strong lad, but not many people would survive something like this. Thon's chest still moved, but it was barely perceptible. He's alive. But he may not be for long, and he won't live unless you get moving. You want to take now to address everything you're angry about, or do you want to help your friend? I'm going to kill Jorad if I ever see him again, Arrow said. Near growled and opened his mouth to yell but bit it off, afraid that the noise would bring unwanted attention. Yes, Nir said when he was certain he could keep his voice quiet. I'm sure you will. Assuming Sol-Ray isn't nearby, he thought. Bandages, now, and stoke up that fire while you're at it. Arrow finally went, and Nir shook his head. His boy didn't have what it took to kill somebody, and given their current situation, Nir wasn't sure that was a good thing. They both had tough decisions ahead of them. Hesitation would get them both killed. Nir looked down at Thon, his eyes narrowing. This was a waste of time. Thon was barely breathing. They needed to get out of here. Nir had seen what the Hunway had done to the men back at Nebron. The memory of the massacre made bile rise in the back of his throat. Was it wise to let one man put both Arrow and Nir at risk, not to mention the others? The rest of the group that Nir had left outside the city would not know what to do without Nir to guide them. Too many were younger than Arrow. What was to be gained if Nir died here, helping a man that might not live? What would happen to all the others? He hoped the Hunway wouldn't return here, but that was no guarantee. He needed to help Arrow face the facts. Thon did not have much of a chance. Nir snorted. It was worse than that. Thon almost would certainly die. Nir had been afraid of having another death hanging around his neck. But what was that compared to all the others who were dependent on him? Nir looked up as his hand gripped the handle of his knife a little tighter. Arrow had disappeared into a back room. Nir could hear him as he rummaged around. Thon's chest was bloody enough that Arrow would not notice if Nir were to enlarge one of the wounds. A blade straight to the heart would stop the feeble breathing that was left, he thought. One quick movement and I'll put an end to all this madness. There was even a wound he could use. Steeling his will for what he was about to do next, Nir looked down and saw Thon had opened his eyes and was looking at him. Nir froze, afraid Thon was able to read his intentions. After a pause, he smiled down at the wounded man. Don't worry. We got this, old fella. Just finished cutting off your shirt. We'll make sure you get through this. Thon squeezed his eyes shut without a word and groaned. His mouth was crusted over with dried snot and dirt. Firming his face, Nir brought his knife up and was about to slam it down when he saw Arrow heading back into the room. Nir suppressed a frown and instead cleaned his blade on Thon's shredded shirt before putting it away. Arrow had not noticed anything because he would have commented on it. That was one thing Nir could always count on his son to do, speak his mind without any thought of the consequence. Arrow was carrying an armful of sheets and blankets, far more than they would need. Nir sent Arrow for water, hoping to put an end to Thon while his son was gone, but Arrow returned quickly, having found a full pail in the kitchen. Sighing with resignation, Nir went to work. It took the better part of an hour to clean and bandage Thon's wounds. Arrow managed to rummage up a ladle and tried to get Thon to drink some water with little success. Arrow kept saying reassuring words to Thon, even though Nir had told him to hush more times than he could count. It wasn't the comforting intent that was annoying. It was Arrow's promise that Jor-Ed wouldn't get away the next time Arrow saw him. As usual, the lad did not pay any attention to Nir's admonitions and kept at it, talking about how he suspected Adar must have been involved with Brahm's death as well. It was enough to make a man go insane. Nir stood and paced so he wouldn't have to continue to listen. Eventually, Arrow gave up on getting Thon to drink and finally shut up about getting his revenge on Jor-Ed and Adar. After a few more minutes of pacing in silence, Nir realized that it had become quiet outside as well. He hesitantly peered out the door. It took him several moments before he realized that he could still hear blasters in the distance. He stepped outside and was thrown back by a sudden gust of wind that hit the home with enough force that if he hadn't grabbed onto the doorframe, he would have been tossed to the floor for sure. He slid around into the home and put his back to the wall as the wind continued unabated for several long minutes. The books that had been spilled were flipped open, and the pages were turning. The table in the dining room was blown off its legs and slammed into the wall. Arrow had hunkered over Thon, shielding his face from most of the blast, the wind ripping at their clothes and hair. Nir thought of moving into a back room, but when he took a hesitant step forward, the wind caught him and almost pulled him down. He thrust himself back to the wall. After the wind had passed, the sounds of the Hunway's confounded weapons did not return. He had figured that the Hunway had left, which was why he was surprised when he once again heard the sound of the Hunway weapons half an hour later. Nir had slid to the floor to catch his breath while thinking through what had happened. He got to his feet, tread lightly over to the door, and looked out. A moment later, Arrow joined him on the other side. "I thought they were gone," Arrow said, his voice cracking as he spoke. Nir snorted. "Make no assumptions. That's how people die." They both stood at the door, waiting while the blasters continued to fire. It did not last long before returning to silence. Nir sat in a chair, trying to decide what to do next. He glanced over at Thon, hoping that the man had stopped breathing so that they could just leave him, but his chest still moved. If anything, it looked as if his breathing had improved. By Vary and all else that is sacred, Nir thought. What I wouldn't give for a little bit of luck just now. Come away from there, Nir said when he noticed that Arrow had lost all sense of caution and was standing in the doorway as if there wasn't anything to fear outside. Arrow didn't move. Stand to the side. For once, Arrow listened and moved. Nir stared at Thon, wishing that the man would just stop breathing. Perhaps he could send Arrow into the back rooms to look for something. If Nir were to move quickly, he could remove a bandage, do the deed, and cover it back up before Arrow returned. After giving it several minutes of thought, he was unable to come up with anything that he could send Arrow to find. He stood and paced, trying to decide if it was worth the risk of leaving the home to circle around the block. If the Hunwe had left, it was time for them to do the same. As the minutes stretched by, there were several more blasts, but they were all muffled. Nir was close to venturing outside when he heard an explosion. It was louder than a blast, but not as large as some of the explosions that had occurred during the invasion. It had not been very far away, maybe a block or two over. Thon stirred at the sound, but did not wake. The bloody man's condition had improved. He was breathing easier and wasn't as pale as he had been. It looks like my hesitation is paying off, Nir thought as he looked outside the door, glad that he hadn't yet tried to go outside. At least I have that. If Thon would only die, it would make things much easier. Once things settled, Arrow would insist on finding a healer, and Nir would be forced to make his son face the facts of their situation. It would not do any good. Arrow would insist on getting help, regardless of whether he had Nir's support. Nir approached the side of the door opposite Arrow and looked out into the street, but everything was still. It was infuriating that he had no idea what was going on and that he was saddled here with Thon. Maybe the time for the conversation with Arrow had come. Arrow went pale as more shots from a blaster echoed through the street. Nir growled quietly. If their opportunity to slip away had already passed, he was going to lose it. You were right, Arrow said, shaking his head. You were right. They are still here. Maybe you should listen a little more, eh? Nir said gruffly while looking back at Thon. He had his eyes open and was staring towards them. When Nir made eye contact, he repressed a shudder from Thon's cold expression. Had Thon been able to tell what Nir was thinking of doing? Nir raised a finger to his lips and pointed out the door. Thon gave a slow nod of his head, but did not ease up on his grim frown. Nir turned as if nothing was wrong, and he hoped he was misreading Thon. He should have let Arrow take the chance of going to look around after all. At least then he could have handled this Thon situation cleanly with Arrow out of the way for a bit. Hey, there's Adar, Arrow whispered. It was indeed the man. Adar had his back to them and was headed away from them. Nir was taken off guard, but he realized that he should not have been. He should have assumed that he would find Adar here as well. It made sense that Adar and Jorad would be together. He reached for the hilt of his sword that hung from his belt. Adar had insinuated that he'd known about Nir and Kurani. It would have been a mercy if Adar had been the one to discover his affair instead of Braum. There would have been less guilt associated with killing Adar. Arrow stepped out into the street, breaking into Nir's thoughts. Arrow, Nir hissed. Get back here. Of course, Arrow didn't even bother to respond as he ran across the street and ducked behind a cart. Adar was far enough away that he had not noticed the sudden movement. Melia saved me from my own son. Nir took a quick look at Thon, whose eyes were closed again before he chased Arrow into the rain. If that fool son of his tried to settle his grievances with Adar instead of Jorad, he was going to get himself killed. Nir still didn't think Arrow would actually go through with killing anybody, but he had held Jorad at the point of a sword. If the fool managed to do that to Adar, he would be lucky if he died quickly.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com. and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker, all rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LC.